All right. Let's get this out of the way first. The thoughts, views, and opinions expressed on Tailboard Talks Firefighter Podcast are solely those of the speakers, guests, and host, and do not in any way represent the thoughts or views or opinions of any other employer, partnership, or sponsor. The material and information in this podcast is for general information purposes only. It should be used at the listener's discretion.
All right, let's just start this one. I've tried a couple, jot down a few notes. I got my phone here with my other notes. We're not rehearsing anymore. We're just going. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome to the Tailboard Talks Firefighter Podcast. I'm Chris, your host from Fourth Shift Firefighter. And here we are back in the studio for a quick little solo session. Back with Kurt soon, I'm sure. We got a couple of topics that we're going to talk about. I think it's almost time to revisit the working out in gear topic because I just saw that there's a company that made a set of gear that's specifically for training or exercise or working out or whatever. And yes, that very well may address the PFAS, PFAS concerns with working out in gear. It still does not, potentially, still does not address the mobility concerns and the restrictions and the joint inhibitions and stuff like that. That is the main concern of Kurt and myself when it comes to working out in gear. So I think that might be revisited in the future. Today, though, we're talking about advice and also compliments. I decided to take a little positive spin for today and wanted to know what the best advice you've gotten in the fire service is and what the best compliment you've received was, because those kind of stick with you. We get scrutinized a lot. We get critiqued a lot, and kind of our operations get dissected for the better, hopefully, right? And training evolutions and stuff like that. We're always going over stuff that happened, what we can do better, all that. So that kind of gets washed away. Right, we remember the lessons, we try to do better next time, but the specific words get washed away. But compliments tend to stick with us because they are traditionally fewer and far between. There's still the old feeling in the fire service, like, I'm just doing my job, like, that's just what I'm doing, so don't praise me for it. And so whenever someone goes above and beyond to give you a compliment, sometimes that sticks with us, right? So I went to you guys on Instagram. If you're not following already on Fourth Shift Firefighter on Instagram, please go ahead and do it. I put these question boxes up pretty frequently before episodes because I want to know. I want to know what you guys are talking about and what you guys think of these topics. So I go to you frequently. And I said, hey, what's the best compliment you've ever gotten? So let me get back to it real quick. I decided to go on a different view, of course, right before we got going. Here it is. One person says, pound for pound, the strongest person on the department. And in parentheses says, I'm little. So that's pretty good, right? Overcoming your size with a little bit of strength and making it work. Another one, I'm the hardest worker in the room. Here's a big one. We trust you on and off the truck. Man, that's a giant one. That's going to play into some of the compliments that I appreciate and that I've received in the past too. But being trusted on the job and away from it or on and off the truck with your decision making or whatever is monster, right? And the other one here, good medic, hardworking, and positive attitude. I mean, if you got those three things, you're bound to make it in today's fire service, right? Especially the medic part. And then I asked another question about, so that was compliments. Did I mess that up already? That was compliments. I'm going out of order. I'm going to go out of order again just because that's how I started. Then I asked another one about advice you've gotten. So let me get back to my notes now on compliments. And I tell you what, I originally planned for this to be the second segment on this, but we're doing it first because I made a whoopsie. So here we are. Some of the best compliments that I've ever gotten have been performance-based, thankfully. Like, that's where the rubber meets the road, right? That's where we all want to do a good job, and we all want to impress everybody, or at least not be the weak link. I wrote an article about that a while ago. I did a couple of podcast episodes about that, about you don't have to be the best. You don't have to be the absolute star, right? But as long as you're not the weak link, you'll typically be okay. It's kind of how I built my athletic career. It's kind of how I built my fire department career for a long time. May not be the absolute best or smartest or most experienced, but I definitely wasn't the weak link. And so when there was scrutiny to come down, usually I was in the clear from that, thankfully. But also on the social side, getting compliments is a major deal because we're a hard bunch. We're not quick to open up, I would say. We're not super trusting. We're a little bit skeptical, a little bit pessimistic because of this job. We tend to seek fault first, which is only natural. It's kind of what we do. When you go to a call, you look for what's wrong and you try to fix what's wrong. So we naturally pick out the bad stuff, naturally pick out the wrong stuff. We gravitate towards it, right? So for someone to compliment you or go out of their way and say something, again, carries a lot of weight. One of the best compliments I remember was during a, I believe it was an acting battalion chief final. I think that was the level it was at. And when we do that in my department, they bring out the person who's trying to be an acting battalion chief or acting captain or whatever, and they invite two or three other companies and they set up an incident. Sometimes it's a fire, sometimes it's a car accident with extrication, and it's a real running incident because they want to see how this person performs and uses the crews and organizes and uses structure and command and all that stuff. For whatever reason, I did two of these back-to-back in two different shift days. And when I got to the second one, the assistant chief was there and he says, you can't do the same thing you did last time. We're not trying to mess with this guy, but get practice doing something else. It was an extrication. One car was on its side, the other one was underneath it. And so then there was multiple patients inside. So he said, you're on the engine company and you can't use the same tools or same methods to extricate and get these people out you did the first time. Again, not trying to screw with the guy who's going for the position and doing his test, but this is to make you think too. So communicate and get it done. So it came down to it, and I happened to be very good friends with the guy who was going through this exam. So we go about our business, and I went to him and said, hey, I'm not screwing with you. We got to try something different to get these cars apart. So it's going to take a few extra minutes, but we're going to get it done. I have an idea. The crews here are good. We're going to make it work. And he said, okay, I understand. And you could tell he was like, are you screwing with me right now? Like, dude, just get this over with so I can get out of this pressure cooker and get on with it today, because it's a full day thing they're doing. And so you could tell in the moment, he was like, you kid me? You're like, now you're going to try to screw around and try some new stuff? But I told him, no, it's all good. This is how it has to be. So we get it done. Takes a little bit longer. Had to communicate a few times, give status updates, blah, blah, blah. And afterward, I said, hey, man, I really wasn't trying to screw with you. Like, before this drill started, the assistant chief came up and gave me these restrictions. So I had to tell you those, but I couldn't, like, let the cat out of the bag. And he looked at me very plainly and said, you know, at first I was wondering why you did it, but then I remembered, you know what you're doing, and I'm not worried about that, and you're gonna figure out how to get it done. And what it came down to was I really wasn't worried about it. And that was kind of a really cool moment, because I was very young in my officer career, even though I still am. I was even younger. I think I was an acting officer at the time. And to get that compliment of a senior member who's trying to be from captain to acting battalion chief, and have him look at me and go, you know what? I wasn't worried about it. I know you know what you're doing. Even though he didn't have eyes on the specific situation. He didn't see what I did. He didn't know what crews I had. He just knew that he was over there somewhere telling me what to do, and I was over here trying to make it happen. That was a really cool point, and that was a major compliment for me. It gave me a lot of confidence. It made me nervous that, like, oh man, next time I hope I don't screw it up because I did okay this time. But that was a really cool compliment, just having someone not be worried about what you're doing on the scene. Another big compliment we got was from, I believe it was either the assistant chief or the chief. We had a fire in a bungalow, and it was tricky, man. It was tricky to the point where at one point we tried to do a coordinated attack in the attic, and I broke out the window, and the company opened the line, and nothing happened because the attic was so subdivided, neither of us were in the spot we thought we were. Tricky fire. Rough going. Came down to it, and they said, we're really having a tough time getting to this area of the fire. And my company was up to go inside, and one person was saying, you know what, let's just attack it from the outside. We'll cut the roof. We'll get the aerial over here, put the stick up, cut from the stick. And I can't remember if it was the chief or battalion chief said, no, these guys are going in next. And then, you know, if they can't get it done, then we have to switch tactics. Like, if they can't do it, then we know for sure that it can't be done. And I would like to think that he looked at us specifically and said, like, oh, these three people are going in. Okay, if they can't do it, then it's impossible. I would love to think that was the case. What's more likely is that he just has confidence in his crews and his department, because we're good. I think we're good. And it's uncomfortable to say that, like, oh, we're a good department. Like, we're good at our job. For some reason, that still feels like, don't do that. You're going to jinx yourself, or don't sell yourself so high. Don't praise yourself because you're going to get put down. But so anyways, I would like to think that he looked at us specifically and said, oh, if you guys are going in, it's either going to happen or it's impossible. And I took it as that because I needed that. But it was a major compliment of like, of all the people on the fire ground, he's looking at us and saying, okay, our best chance of success is you guys. And if it doesn't work, I understand that you tried everything you could, or it must be impossible and you're not going to be at fault for it not working. That was just such a cool feeling, such a good feeling. I really do think it empowered us to complete it, because we were kind of looking at it too, like, this is tricky. And then we went in and ended up doing what we're supposed to do, which was, it was just awesome. So those things don't happen frequently, but like I said, when they do happen, they're kind of notable, so they kind of stick with you. Now that's on the operational front. If you have any real life experience with me, I like talking on the podcast. I like it a lot. It makes me not swear as much. It makes me temper myself a little bit, so the message is palatable. In real life, I'm a little more harsh and abrasive, to a fault sometimes, and to a loss of communication sometimes. But what it has garnered is a little bit of trust from the people that seek out advice from me or opinions. And one of the best compliments I've received is someone will come into my office or just kind of corner me or bring me aside and say, hey, I have this question, and I know you're going to be honest with me, so I need your opinion here. That little sentence of, I know you're going to be honest with me, to me, carries a lot of weight, because there's a lot of people that don't want to get involved or don't want to be mean necessarily, or don't want to like put themselves out there and become part of the problem. Because if I identify the problem, then I have an expectation to kind of help to fix it. So for someone to come up and say, hey, I know this might, you might not give me information I want to hear, but I could use your opinion because I trust what you're going to say, and you're going to be honest with me. That to me is important, and it carries a lot of weight. And I know I don't have that relationship with everybody. I know there's a lot of people who'd rather just avoid me because they are afraid I'm going to be a little too harsh. And I probably am. And that's something I am continuously working on since being promoted, is not letting my delivery get in the way of the message, which is also a piece of advice I have here later. But the fact that there is a group of people or a handful of people that have learned that they can come to me for honest advice or honest opinions, and that it's not going to be skewed or based in malcontent or I'm not looking to get anybody, that means a lot. So that's some of the best compliments I've received, is people trust my opinion because they know I'll be honest with them. And then on the fire ground, hopefully they think I'm operationally sound. And neither of those things happen quickly. I mean, I've been with my department now for 16 years, and I'm just now in the past 2 or 3 years getting that point where people will seek me out for advice and opinions because of that. It takes a long time, man, especially in on the operational front too. I'm far from knowing every single tactic. I'd say 50% of tactics, quite honestly. But I had a lot of opportunities early in my career to just drill the basics, just absolutely hammer the basics. And that foundation of baseline skill kept raising and raising like it does. You just keep building skill on skill on skill, right? And so while I may not pull the fanciest tricks out of my hat or have all the answers, I got a good foundation that I've built over a decade now of basic problem solving and mechanics and stuff like that. So it takes a long time, guys. If you're not feeling those compliments, if you're not getting those kudos yet, just stick with it. I mean, stick with it. You're going to have to build a lot of bridges. You're going to have to burn some. You have to keep working. You have to show your value over and over and over again. And be consistent and understand that you're going to have bad days and you're going to give bad advice and you're going to perform poorly on the fire ground and poorly in training. But the goal is for your good to outweigh your bad. So when people look at you, they give you the benefit of the doubt and they're not afraid to test you out the second time. So now that I'm completely backwards here, let's go over some advice. Let's go over some advice that you guys have gotten, that I've gotten, because advice is, I mean, absolutely abundant in the fire service, right? But good advice is much more scarce. Advice, you will sit at the kitchen table and the most common phrase is, you know what you should do, or you know what you ought to check out, or what I would do if I was you. I mean, that has got to be just the most frequent phrase in the fire service. Telling someone else what they should be doing or how they should be handling something is the most frequent thing you will encounter in the fire service. But good advice rooted in experience or knowledge or whatever is much more scarce. So I asked you guys again, what's the best advice you've gotten? And let me look here. We have, no matter your job or your role in the department, have pride in your craft. Pride, I feel like pride is one of those terms that can go way too far on the fisty side, way too far on the, not the jocko side, but like the beating your own chest pride, flashy stuff, right? Or pride can be like the silent professional that's just locked down, hammering it. And you can tell by the quality of the work and the quality of their individual that they have a lot of pride, but it's not boastful. It's just kind of like there, right? Have fun in the station, but be a pro when the bell rings. I will say I read this one and I've completely advanced my opinion of what a professional is in the past few years, mostly since getting promoted and being told like, you are supposed to be leading professionals now. I never really labeled myself as like a well-rounded professional before, as just a on the ambulance or a backstep guy. I understood what it meant. I understood what it takes to be good at your job and interact with the public and be operationally sound. But being a professional is like a whole new ball of wax, man. It's like this all-encompassing thing to be a professional, not just an engine chimp, right? Or a cot jockey. You're now you're a professional. You're the whole package. And so being able to have fun in the station, but be a well-rounded professional when the bell rings, it's much heavier words than just the sentence that gets said. Don't take things personally is another one. It's a very good one I'll be getting into here in a second. Is it truth or is it perception? Very interesting one. We used to have a saying that came and went pretty quickly that was, is reality is perception, or perception is reality. See, it frustrated so many people, I chose to block it out. Perception is reality. And where this came to bite me a few times was when something happened, and if the public complained, even if that thing didn't happen, the public believed it did. So one time I was driving the engine, and we had this old engine that was just, it sounded like a freight train rolling down the street. And it was a double park street. And so I was going from a stop down the street. And this thing was just so loud. And I probably hit about 25 miles an hour through double park cars. I can't remember if we're going to a call or not. But someone called and complained and said, your fire engine was ripping down my street, super loud, super fast, and there was cars on both sides. Now, I knew I wasn't going over the speed limit. And the people in the engine also knew I wasn't going over the speed limit. The person who came and addressed me said, I know that engine and there's no way you're going over the speed limit from that stop sign. But the public was absolutely sure. That person was very, very sure that I was being reckless and flying down the street. That was their reality. And so you have to understand that you're not going to sit that person down and be like, oh, he really wasn't. You just think he was because it's a really loud engine and it looked tight and he was moving a little bit faster than you expected to, but he really wasn't. I'm not having that conversation. Personally, I said, Chief, am I in trouble? Because I don't think I did anything wrong. And they said, no, you're not in trouble, but just pay more attention to your surroundings. Maybe you do have to go a little bit slower if you're not going to a call in that engine because it's loud. And don't go through park cars so confidently, or through double park cars so confidently, because it looks like you're being reckless. As I understand. That's the end of it for me. That's the perception of the public and the perception of what happened. So it's very much reality, because that very much was a conversation that had to happen. Didn't mean to get off on a little tangent there, but you can't always win those. You can't always win those perception reality versus reality kind of battles. And the last one here, which I think is an untapped resource, and I want to get a person that specializes in this stuff on, so please send me your people if you got a good one that specializes in the fire service. Open up a Roth IRA and invest in your 457B. That is very good advice, and I will say advice that is not shared frequently enough with the newer firefighters. It may happen, I just don't hear it. Obviously, that's more than likely happening, but that used to be something that was way more advertised. All your deferred comp, all your savings plans. If you're not investing in that or you don't know anything about it, please find out about it. That's a great piece of advice. Some of the best advice I've gotten, I just have a couple here. The first one was, my first couple of years working in my department, I worked for an absolute maniac in the best way. This guy was hyper. He was getting his nose in everything. if there was a call and it looked exciting at all, he was in. He was cutting in line. He was jumping calls. He was aggressive, man. And we did a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. But with that level of intensity comes a level of intensity. And he was intense. And he would yell a lot. And it would put people off a lot. But shortly after I started working with him, probably months into working with him, it stopped putting me off because I had played sports. I had played hockey for a long time. And I had been yelled at a lot from playing hockey. And I was able to quickly see, like, oh, this guy's volume has nothing to do with what he's saying. Like, his words are muffled by intensity. And so you had to learn to look past how he was saying it and look at what he was saying, right? Don't let the message get lost in the delivery. And you weren't going to change this guy. You weren't going to be like, hey, man, listen, you're a little bit harsh when you talk and you need to slow down. That was never going to happen. So it was on you then and all the people on the receivers to listen to the, don't let the message get lost in the intensity and in the delivery. That was one of the best lessons I had to learn, because once you learn that, you can apply that to anybody. You can apply that to patients. You can apply that to scenes. You can apply that to leadership. Try not to get lost in the emotion. Try not to get lost in the way they're delivering it to you, and try to listen to the message or the lesson or whatever they're trying to say to you, because it will very easily get lost in the delivery and in the intensity. But if you can listen to the message, then you can counterpoint that message. Instead of just fighting fire with fire, instead of fighting emotion with emotion and getting louder and louder, and then the loudest one wins, or the one who's unwilling to get loud walks away and the other loud one thinks he won. If you're listening to the message, you can cut through that intensity and argue point for point, or prove point for point, right? But don't let the message get lost in the delivery. And the second one that I refer back to frequently was when I got promoted on my promotion day. My mentor, a leader in the department, really awesome dude who I did a lot of my acting time under, taught me a lot of stuff. He told me to slow down. He said, hey man, just slow down, figure it out. We're going to work through it. He said, but slow down. You have more time than you think. And again, that one really communicated with me, because I played hockey. I mean, the amount of times that you would feel pressured in a corner, or that you had to get the puck off your stick, or you had to make a play right now. And then you go back and watch tape and you're like, oh, I had so much more time than I thought. I really could have picked my head up there and made a good play instead of just chipping this thing out. The amount of times that happened, it shouldn't have happened so many times. That's why I didn't play hockey past juniors. But that message rang home, because it's true. In your head, when you're on a call, if you're command or if you're first in, you feel like every single thing needs to be done before the second unit gets there. And if I am short of making the fire room, or pulling someone out a window, or having this thing three quarters complete by the time the second engine gets there, I'm way behind. So I got to hurry up. And that's not the way it is. Another mentor of mine, before I got promoted, we went out and walked a pretty cool area of District 5, of the district I was in. A lot of different kinds of houses, a lot of chopped up multifamilies, a lot of subdivided Victorian houses, really cool stuff, but really tricky to get into where you want to go. And I told him that. I said, man, when I pull up on these things, I feel like that I'm already 10 minutes behind. And if I don't have a line through the front door by the time the BC gets here or the next unit gets here, I'm gonna look like an idiot. And he said, man, I can't tell you how wrong that is. He goes, if all you do is figure out what the correct door is to go in by the time the next unit gets here, that will save us so much time on the back end, because now we're not chasing that problem. If you commit blindly to a door in pursuit of being fast and it's wrong, now we just doubled our time getting to the right spot. So you have more time than you think. Slow down. Slow down. Make a decision. Remember that we're all showing up to this party to make it better. No one's showing up to the party hoping it goes worse. Okay? We're all in it going towards the same goal. Making cool stuff happen and making stuff better. So slow down. Make a decision. Remember that we all want this thing to get better. Those are the two biggest ones I've gotten. And I know they blended a few in there. Listen to the message, not the delivery, and slow down. Make a decision. Remember, we're all trying to make this better. I hope those resonate with you guys. I really appreciate all your feedback on Instagram. Please keep sending those over. If you ever see me put a question box up, it's because I want your feedback. I want to use it on here. I want us all to learn from it. That's the whole point of the four shift. Before I go, I actually just remember another one. Of course, Joe Galley, being himself, couldn't respond to the question bubble. He had to text me a paragraph. But this is a really good one to end on. This was the compliment one. Okay, what's the best compliment you ever got? And I'm just going to read it. It's only a few sentences. He said, our old deputy chief, and then he put his name in there, wrote a letter to state his appreciation of our job performance after a very difficult call. He wrote each of us personal letters and mailed them. He didn't have to make a production out of it for it to land. In fact, it was more special because he didn't make a fuss about it. No award, no ceremony, and nothing of that magnitude would feel as good as your guys pulling you aside and telling you how much they appreciate you. That's a pretty deep one, right? I'm not going to rehash it. I'm not going to overstate it again. If you need to, hit the rewind button, go back and listen to it. If you're a leader, keep that one in your back pocket. That's a really good one. All right, guys. Thanks as always for watching and listening and sharing and helping me out with this. Oh, I forgot to talk about the sponsors again, my affiliates again. Rescue One CBD, safe for the job, 0.000 THC. Check them out. I just saw today they're going to meet FDIC, and they're actually bringing a topical ointment, it looks like. And they have a roll-on already. They're bringing another topical. They have two different formulas for their drops. They have a daytime and a nighttime. Incredible stuff. Great company. Please go check them out at FDIC, or just go look them up, Rescue One CBD. The other one is Fourth Frontier. It's a heart rate monitoring strap, but it's not just a heart rate monitoring strap. It gives you way more data than every other strap out there. It's a chest strap, which I like. Keeps stuff off your wrist, doesn't get beat up. But it also has lead to EKG. Very cool capability. You can look at it live when you're recording your workout. You can look on your phone and see lead to, or it records lead to the entire time you're working out. So when you're done, you can look back at your report, your summary for that workout, and pull up lead to for the entire time you were recording. Pretty cool stuff. Go check it out. On my website, there's affiliate links with discount codes. All right, guys. Thanks again. Thanks for letting me get confused. Hopefully I salvage this one. It sounds good. We'll talk to you guys soon. Keep on being a four shifter and keep on working towards being more capable and durable on the job and away from it.